Our city's home to the best music on earth. It hasn't come from nowhere, though. Over the years, musicians have come and gone and grown. Venues have opened and closed and scenes have been built. And one man who has watched it all unfold is RTRFM's Ross Chisholm, who joins us for another episode of The Land That Time Forgot. Back in the sanctuary of the studio after making our stage debut on the weekend at the quiz night.
Yes. It's when there's only one other person in here, it's not a problem. When there's people out there, it's really, really different, I have to say.
I have to say, a stage, I don't feel at home on a stage.
No.
I've got to say, yeah. Anyway, we did it.
Yes.
And my boyfriend was saying, he's just getting up there to just flex his musical knowledge just to show how much he knows.
You know
a lot about local music history and you challenged a lot of people on Saturday night.
Yes, they told me about it.
Yeah, did they? Did you cop anything? Did anyone accost you?
Yeah, they just said it was really, really hard. And I did point out that a number of the questions had been, we'd actually given them the answers on air.
We had. Some of them, though, hadn't.
No, some of them I hadn't.
I must admit, I would not have scored well.
Interestingly enough, because I was doing the scoring as well as asking some of the questions, the one they virtually everyone got was the Who Am I?
Which was Kevin Bloody Wilson. Why?
Don't know. I mean, they didn't get a number of the others I thought were fairly obvious, but that's just the way of the world.
Can I make a request that we not do a Land That Time Forgot on Kevin Bloody Wilson, please? That's one thing that
Well, that would actually, given the obscenity laws, it could be difficult.
Yeah, we're not ever going to do that. But we are going to do something.
Now it's a challenge.
Never.
Okay.
Not on my watch. We're going to do something amazing this week.
Yes.
What are we going to do?
You gave them a bit of a hint, and the name of the band is Seahorse Radio.
Lovely.
Now, they started, question mark.
What kind of music are we talking about first?
Well, most people would have seen them as a three-piece band a bit later on when there was sort of jazz, there's sort of jazz inflections in there. But they started off a much bigger band and a lot harder to listen to.
Oh, really? Back in the, mid-90s?
I've got one of the earliest gigs that I could find was February of 1997, but they could have been going for a while longer. During their first 2 years, 50 people passed through the band.
Stop it.
Yes.
How so?
Well, all of them had other gigs on the side. Most of them went through the con, so there was a jazz feel, although they weren't a jazz band as such. So when another gig came up, a paying gig, they would take that and they would get someone that they knew who was competent to come in and fill in for them.
All right.
So hence why you've got so many people passing
through.
That's
amazing. Now, you make little family trees of local bands.
Or not so little in this case.
How did you do that?
I didn't actually go through on this one.
You'd have to lay out butcher's paper.
That's pretty much how you do it. But I didn't even try with this one because they had few articles at the time. There were some of them, but none gave the lineups of a specific, apart from the album, gave lineups of specific periods. So given how many, I'll just give you the brief bones of it. One of the earliest lineups had Ant Gray on guitar, Steve Elkins on keyboards. They were also playing in Air Ensemble at that point in time. Karen Leatherby from Elf King, a little-known band that included Gavin Melville, who these days would be known as Pugsley B. Watering Can, way back when. You didn't even know he came from Perth, did you?
No.
Ah, well, there you go. Ronan Charles, who was on tenor sax and sometimes guitar. Nathan Winterflood, a.k.a. Floods, on drums. And he was playing with lots of bands even back then. And Matt Willis on bass and double bass. And that was sort of one of the earliest solid lineups. And they did some recording, and I've got it listed here because I was amazed. They recorded From Dusk to Dawn on the 2nd of February 1998 at Pern's Head and got 70 minutes worth of music down. That's in
17?
70.
Oh, wow.
And given February, it makes it really short night. So some bands could take months, years to do an album, and they did 70 minutes worth of music in a night, a short night at that.
Just recorded it in one fell swoop.
Yeah, and it was different lineups for different tracks. And I've listed some of the musicians, but
that would have been quite a night.
Yeah, and it was like, you know, 4 a.m, look, can you come down to the studio? We need you now. I don't know how they did it. But we're going to take a track from their debut album. Although it was recorded on one night in February 1998, it didn't actually come out until May of 1999, which was a long time afterwards. At this point in time, they were gigging at the Greenwich, the Ozone, which is a venue that's now gone. It was in Northbridge. I think it's a microbrewery now.
Yes. The Grove. I know where you're talking about. Yep. Next to the Piazza.
Yeah, and Mustangs is next to that.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very nice venue, actually. Grosvenor, Seaview, the Aberdeen, which is Yuppiesville, and Mojo's as well. But we're going to take something from the Burning in Water album. This is the first track in here called Tremolo.
Seahorse Radio, the subject of this week's Land That Time Forgot. RTR FM. Ross Chisholm's in the house. He's taking us back to the land that time forgot, diving into the history of Seahorse Radio. Now, Ross, we've been to the first release, Burning in Water.
Yep, which came out in May of 1999 when there was a fluid lineup.
people coming and going.
Yep, yep. With other things on the go. Towards the end of 1999, it slimmed down to a trio, which would have been Steve Elkins on keyboards, Karen Leatherby on vocals, and Sam Steadman on drums. Now, he was just a fill-in because Nathan Winterflood was off touring America, I think it was, with one of his many bands, which would have been Stingray, which was a bluesy type band.
Yeah, right.
But he then came back and they had lots of dramas. And finally...
Lots of dramas or lots of drummers?
Well, lots of everyone. but they eventually tied it down as a three-piece, which is the one a lot more people would know, and they had other releases. They had Ronan Charles on keyboards, sax and guitar, Karen Leatherby again on vocals, and Nathan Winterflood on drums, and that was the one that sort of did a whole lot more recording. Although given Nathan's other things, I suspect there was fill-ins for him as well. And they released their second release.
Mm-hmm. So what was this? Was it an EP?
Yes, CD EP called Shortcut. And just to play with Caitlin, the track I'm about to play is called Burning in Water, which you would remember as the title track of the previous release. It's a bit like Led Zeppelin's Houses of the Holy. They had an album, they had a song, but then the song didn't go on the album and it went on the next album and it confuses a lot of people.
Just seeing if everyone's paying attention.
Yep.
That's what they're doing.
So this is Seahorse Radio from their Shortcut CD EP and a piece called Burning in Water.
It's just gone 7:30. You're on Breakfast on RTR FM 92.1. The sounds of Seahorse Radio and Burning in Water, the subject of this week's Land That Time Forgot. Ross Chisholm's here. He's telling us all about them. And a big thank you to Chris. He gave us a call, 9260-9210. He loves the Land That Time Forgot. It's his favourite radio segment, Ross.
Oh, they all say that.
Oh, well,
yep.
He meant it.
Yep.
And we appreciate it. And he wanted to know if there was, because you talked a lot about different members coming in and out of Seahorse Radio, but he wants to know who was the glue, who were the consistent members.
Okay. Karen Leatherby, who was the vocalist, was on all the releases.
There the whole time.
Yep.
And you can hear her.
I know Libby Hammer was actually a vocalist very briefly.
Oh,
probably
lovely.
Probably for one or two gigs. And Nathan Winterflood, although he wasn't on in some of the lineups, was on all the recordings. So mm-hmm. they appear to be the consistent ones. Ronan Charles had been in there early on, wasn't in one or two of the lineups. That could have been for whatever reasons. And Steve Elkin, another keyboard, multiple keyboard players, were also there as well.
Okay, so there was a core there.
Yeah, there was a core with floating people.
Lots of people floating in and out.
Yep.
Lovely.
That was a piece called Burning in Water, taken from their Shortcut CD EP, which was released in November of 2000 and launched at Mojo's.
Were you there?
No.
Oh.
They kept the same lineup, amazingly, for the next release. They were gigging a lot at that stage, places, again, like the Grosvenor, although it must have been early on because the Grosvenor closed around about that time. The Swan Basement, also the Hyde Park, and I would imagine it would be the back room of the Hyde Park rather than the front room of the Hyde Park, but... Yeah, I may have got it entirely wrong.
They Let us know if he's wrong.
They seem like a back room rather than front room.
I get where you're coming from. I'm picking that up.
Yeah, a bit more sophisticated than the front room. And then had their second album come out, which was called Prime, which came out in July of 2003 and was launched at the Fly By Night. Going from, Hyde Park to the Fly By Night, it doesn't even bear thinking about. And that appears to be about the time they knocked it on the head, although they might have done some, obviously, some promo gigs as well. And as to where they are now, well, let's start with musician number one. Most of them are still playing, still local, got multiple things on the go, as they always did. Ronan Charles went on to play with One Horse Town, who we have mentioned in regard to Spank.
Yes, a few weeks ago.
Yep. But I can't give you a definite answer to where everyone is at the moment because they're probably in multiple bands.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, if you know of anyone from Seahorse Radio who was in Seahorse Radio or played with them over the years, do get in touch, studio@rtrfm.com.au. And what are we going to go out with today?
We're going to go out with a shortish track. In fact, one of the shortest tracks on their album, which was called Prime. And you were commenting on the cover art for this.
Yeah, it's very early 2000s. It's like a cartoon of a lady. I don't know.
Not necessarily a cartoon, but an
animation.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah. And I think that was Karen, actually,
who was.
And this is a piece called Creeper.
The Land That Time Forgot. Seahorse Radio, Ross, we'll catch up with you in a week.
Oh, yeah.
Have a good one. Sneaking in some raps with Seahorse Radio. Creeper, the subject of this week's Land That Time Forgot. I did say goodbye to you, Ross, but I've got you back because Merlin has emailed in. He says, Ronan and Karen have been together for years and now have kids. Ronan has a recording studio in the hills and he makes websites. And that Merlin made the music video for Burning in Water and he's listening. Look at that. Thanks so much for getting in touch, Merlin.
And now I can actually put it in the family tree. It's all done.
You're going to go home, you're going to roll out the butcher's paper and add some stuff to that family tree.
Well, not. I'll fight with my computer and that's it. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Merlin, for getting in touch. We really appreciate it. And Ross, I will now let you go. You can go home.
Promise?
Yes. You are on RTRFM 92.1. It's 20 minutes away from 8 o'clock.